This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I welcome you to this final installment of this series on the life of Nabi Musa. And as I was recently informed, Nabi Harun, his name is pronounced in the anglicized form as Aaron, not Arun. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's peace be upon both of them and those who followed them with truthfulness till the end of time. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. In this concluding episode, we look at some of the virtues of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But before we get into that, I just want to make the same remarks that I made right at the beginning, that this theme of the Quran, At-Tadhkir bi Ayyamillah, reminders of the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this divine history in which we learn about the lives of the Anbiya, the lives of the Prophets, and the way they dealt with the people and the relationships with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not like we read other history or like we read novels and fiction. It's not a story for the sake of interest, that it's just an amazing story. And wallahi, they are amazing stories. But they are mentioned to us in the Quran so that we may draw lesson therefrom. And this is why Allah ta'ala often tells us in various ways, like فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ, take note, take lesson, O people of insight. So the idea behind this theme of the Quran is that we need to identify ourselves in the story. We need to identify who are the Musas and the Haruns, who are the Samiris, who are the Firauns, who are the Hamans, who are the Rijal, the Rajulun, you know, the person who just comes and assists Nabi Musa. Who are the women like the wife of Fir'aun Asiya, who we will speak about in this episode, and the wife of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who came tamshi ala istihya, came walking with modesty, or ala istihya in qalat, you know, in modesty she spoke. Who are the fathers, like the father-in-law of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, or the mothers, like the mother of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, or his sister. Subhanallah, we need to identify the characters in the story with the characters in our own lives and within ourselves, most importantly. And, you know, whenever we achieve some form of information or we earn some information, it's important to always look within, as opposed to saying, you know what, that's just like that person, that's just like that person. Because we may not be Fir'aun, but we may have traits of Fir'aun, na'udhu billah. We may not be Haman, but we may have traits of Haman, and so on and so forth. So this is the real maqsad of this entire series. It was not just so that we can run through the verses or that we have something to talk about in Ramadan, something to entertain us in the evenings, but it is so that we can reflect. And I strongly suggest that we familiarize ourselves with the story to such a degree that when an incident is mentioned in the Quran about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, then we can perhaps pick up a key word within that story that makes us immediately remember the details that we've learned in the series. So for example, if Allah Ta'ala speaks about Fir'aun, then we know his qualities, we know the story between Musa and Fir'aun. If he speaks about, if Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala speaks about Nabi Musa and Harun, or he speaks about the Mount Tur, or he speaks about the Bani Israel and Musa, or he speaks about the Baqarah, or he speaks about the Fantalaqa, the incident between Nabi Musa and Khidr, or Qarun, you know, all of these characters, when we hear these names, when we hear these key words, and all we need to do is I really memorize a certain set of vocabulary, maybe like 20 words or so. And every time, and it happens frequently, that we hear these words in the Quran, as we stand in Salah, as we recite the Quran, then immediately we can call to mind all the lessons that we actually learned in the series. And in that way, it's not just something that we heard once upon a time, but something that will always benefit us for our lives, inshallah ta'ala. So, now that we've covered the purpose behind what we did, You know, we sought out a niyyah at the beginning. May Allah Ta'ala make us sincere in that. And we re-looked at that niyyah now at the end. And we re-looked at what we can derive from the series. And you're always welcome to revise it again and again and again, inshallah ta'ala. Perhaps even from different sources. Perhaps a series that went into greater detail. Or you can decide, now that you've had an introduction, you may want to read the story for yourself in books like the stories of the prophets, Qasasul Anbiya by Ibn Kathir and similar. Now we can actually get into things beyond that. So I begin this evening's ultimate class, inshallah ta'ala, with some of the virtues of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَى إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْلَصًا وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. In Surah Maryam, verse number 51, Allah Ta'ala tells us, وَذْكُرْ and remember, recall or mention, فِي الْكِتَابِ in the book, meaning in the Quran, Musa, the story of Moses. Not just the story of Moses, but mention him. You know, he has an honor. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْلَصًا, because he was chosen by Allah. From the same word as خَلَصَ يَخْلِصُ إِخْلَاص, same word as إِخْلَاص, right? This is مُخْلَص. He is chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا, and he was a prophet and he was a messenger. And on top of that, he was also مِنْ عُلِي الْعَزْمِ. The Prophet spoke about five messengers, five prophets who were given an honor even above the other prophets. And Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is one of them, and it's your homework to discover who the other four are. So, and then also you can start guessing who we will speak about next year in Ramadan, if Allah Ta'ala grants us life until then, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So here we find that Allah Ta'ala specifically highlights that Nabi Musa was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ, and we, Allah, called him from the side, the right side of Mount Tur, Mount Sinai. وَقَرَّبَنَاهُ نَجِيَّ, and we drew him close to us and we spoke to him. So when Allah Ta'ala says he speaks to Nabi Musa, it's a bit different to the way he speaks about, you know, communicating to other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. For with Nabi Musa, you know, normally it's Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam who carries a message to the Anbiya. But with Nabi Musa, Allah Ta'ala gave him opportunities in which he could speak in the best dunya definition of directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, of course, why we call him Kalimullah. His official title, you know, his special significant feature is that he's Kalimullah, the one whom Allah Ta'ala spoke to. Rasulullah's defining title is Habibullah, is the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Waliyullah. So these titles, friend of Allah, beloved of Allah, the one whom Allah Ta'ala spoke to, they are perhaps found to different degrees in all of them, but the special preference that Allah Ta'ala gives each one, you know, for Nabi Musa, it is the one whom Allah Ta'ala had spoken to. وَوَهَبَنَا لَهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ نَبِيًّا. And another very significant thing is that Allah Ta'ala had granted, because of Nabi Musa's dua, he had made his brother Harun, Aaron, as a prophet and as an assistant to him, subhanAllah. Just from his dua, a prophet was chosen, subhanAllah. That in and of itself is amazing. You know, you can make dua for something, you know, make dua for a car and Allah grants you a car. You know, nice, mashallah. But make dua and Allah makes someone a prophet because of your dua. Now you're talking big business. Allahu Akbar. So we find that Allah Ta'ala also says in Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 114, قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنِّي اصْطَفَيْتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. O Musa, O Moses, I, Allah, have chosen you above people. Meaning I've chosen you among all the people, against all odds. Subhanallah, our theme for this particular series. برسالاتي, with my message, وبكلامي, with my speech, فخذ ما آتيتك, so take that which I had given you, وكم من الشاكرين, and be from among the grateful ones. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala had favored Nabi Musa against all odds to be born in the time of Fir'aun, to be born in the time where the Bani Israel were being oppressed and being enslaved and being killed, subhanAllah. Against all odds, he was born in the year in which the baby boys were actually being killed, as opposed to in the year in which they were being kept alive. Against all odds, Allah Ta'ala allowed his mother to release him into the river instead of running away with him. And against all odds of all the people who could have picked him up, it was the family of Fir'aun, Asiya, rahmatullah alayha, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, who we will, as I said, speak about again, inshallah ta'ala. And he was taken into, of all the homes of all the people, the home of Fir'aun. And against all odds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that only his mother could be breastfeeding him. And so we can go on and on and on. But really, this is a story that proves that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether the odds are stacked in your favor, against you, on top of you. Allah Azza wa Jal is ala kulli shay'in qadir. He's powerful over all things. May we always remember that, bi idhnillahi ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers, لا تكونوا كالذين آذوا موسى. O believers, do not be like the ones who harmed Musa. Do not be like the ones who harmed Moses. Now, remember that yes, Fir'aun harmed Nabi Musa والسلام, and his people. But just recall the years of struggle that he had with his own people, the Bani Israel, when he saved them from Fir'aun. That time after time, they disobeyed his command. Time after time, they moved away from his way of life and from his teaching. And this caused the ultimate displeasure, you know, as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. They harmed him to the extent that he made dua, oh Allah, separate between me and these people. I only have control over myself and my brother. So we, of course, learn from this that our ummah is given. And I asked this question in the series, why does Allah give us so many incidents of the Bani Israel with Nabi Musa? Because Allah is making sure that we have enough lesson to take, that we do not assimilate, that we do not mimic the actions and the speech and the dealing of the people of Nabi Musa with their prophet. That we with our prophet will obey his commands, follow his way of life, live his sunnah, love him dearly, and practice his way of life so that we can earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as opposed to his displeasure. Allahu Akbar. فَبَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا. Allah Ta'ala separated them. He freed Abi Musa from what they were saying. وَكَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَجِيهًا. And by Allah, he was most honored. Allah Ta'ala kept him in a very honored position. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And of course, we also learn that Allah Ta'ala says he spoke to Nabi Musa, is speaking. And we've addressed that, saying that his title was officially Kalimullah, the one whom Allah Ta'ala had spoken to. And like I said, in the best dunya definition that we can come up with, he spoke to him directly. Allahu Akbar. So now we move on to Asiya. Now, think back to when Nabi Musa alayhi salam, right at the beginning of the story, was put into a basket or a crate or a box, you know, whatever we want to call it, but into some vessel sent down the river Nile. And of all the people who could pick him up, it was the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya. So one would imagine immediately that, okay, Fir'aun's a bad guy, this must be a bad woman. But on the contrary, as we said then, and we'll repeat it now, she was not only a good woman, she was one of the best women to have ever lived in this dunya. But why? What's the story with Asiya? It's unfortunate that we don't look at the great women of Islam to the level that we need to. But as I've been told, women need these examples. They need to know these examples. Men need to know these examples, because when you find what a great woman should be like, then you know how to treat great women. And subhanAllah, all women have greatness in them. This woman, may Allah Ta'ala be pleased with her, was Asiya binti Muzahim, who attained, as the Prophet ﷺ said, perfect faith. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrated to us her story. So she lived in Egypt. She became the wife of the most oppressive pharaoh of the time. And she lived obediently as his wife. And then, of course, she picked Nabi Musa alayhi salam from the river. Now, Allah had made it such that she and Fir'aun could not have any kids. And we can obviously understand the wisdom based on the destiny that unfolds later on, that her heart had to be ready to accept Nabi Musa alayhi salam as her own son. And that is exactly how she raised him, as her own, because she knew no other child to love. And she was also the one to really be his mother throughout his life. I mean, his own mother, his biological mother, was his witness, but for all intents and purposes, she was his mother to the world and to him. So subhanAllah, what we find is that when Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he started preaching his message of Tawheed against Fir'aun, she secretly embraced his message, meaning she secretly submitted, and that makes her a submitter, which means Muslim in Arabic. So she hid this iman from Fir'aun for good reason. This is called taqiyya. This is the original Quranic form of taqiyya. When you keep your iman secret because you fear for your life, and this is completely legitimate. However, she then, you know, started speaking to those in her company. And one such woman was one of her assistants, the hairdresser of Asiya. And the Idris of Asia also embraced Islam, subhanAllah. And when she embraced Islam, she obviously took Allah as a Lord and not Fir'aun, who everybody else was taking as Allah at the time from among the disbelievers. So one day this hairdresser was you know, doing the hair of one of the other daughters of Fir'aun, meaning not of Asiya, but one of his other wives or one of his concubines. And as she was brushing this child's hair, the comb fell. And when the comb fell, the hairdresser said, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. And the girl then asked her, Allah, Abi, is this Allah that you're speaking about? You're talking about my father? And then the hairdresser told the daughter, no, I'm not speaking about your father. I'm speaking about the Lord of your father, the Lord of the Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds. So subhanAllah, this came out. The daughter then went to go and report back to Fir'aun that, this hairdresser is taking you, she's disbelieving in you. And apparently there are other people also who disbelieve in you. So the entire family of this woman, all her children, had actually embraced the iman of true Islam and true monotheism. So Fir'aun found out about this. And as we can imagine, being the tyrant that he was, being able to kill and murder babies, male babies, and having women enslaved and raped and tortured and so forth, he decided he would punish them most severely and make an example of them so that others wouldn't reject faith in him. So he got a pit of burning copper and he prepared this pit. And one day he had all her children line up and he made them basically jump into this pit. Subhanallah, she had one request from him, and that was, please collect all our remains and put that together. That's how much she loved the children. You can imagine, this is the love of a mother. And when it came to her baby, she was reluctant to throw a baby into the fire, obviously. And the Prophet ﷺ said that this baby then miraculously spoke, one of the three babies in Islamic history who spoke. And, you may or may not know who the other two are, but inshallah, some more homework for you to find out. So there's the Ulul Azm, and then there's the babies who spoke in the infancy. And the baby was made to say to his mother that, don't fear, for the punishment of the dunya is light in comparison to the punishment of the akhirah, meaning to go through this is nothing for me. So willingly, she cast the baby into this fire, and she herself went in. Allah Ta'ala caused that all of the lives were taken before they could actually burn to death. So this happened in the presence of Asiya. Asiya witnessing this, when believers witness such torments of other believers because of their faith, what does it do? It increases them in faith. She increased in faith to such an extent that she was determined that night she would go to Fir'aun and she would admit to him that she is in fact a Muslimah, that she believes. So she is, subhanAllah, so brave because she knew what Fir'aun was going to do to her. So that night she goes to Fir'aun and she says to Fir'aun, Inni kafartu bik, I disbelieve in you. Wala ubali. She said, I don't care about what you're going to do. Wa amantu bi Rabbi Musa wa Harun, and I believe in the Lord of Musa, the Lord of Harun, Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all of the worlds. So Fir'aun was shocked. He said, do you know what I'm going to do to you? Have you thought this through? And she said, yes. Kafartu bika wala ubali, I disbelieve in you and I just don't care. Allahu Akbar. What faith? If you speak about speaking truth to power, ya salam. This woman, this Muslimah, this amazing role model, she really showed us how that's to be done. So Fir'aun, he took her to the desert, starved her, let her burn in the hot desert sun, no protection. He stripped her of her clothing. He tortured her in front of his daughters and other wives and concubines. And all the while, they were there pointing and laughing at her. This is his own wife. And she was living as a queen up until this point. Her faith was such that in the heat of what was happening, all she could do was turn to Allah and make a dua, which I present to you now. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah At-Tahrim, that's Surah number 66 in the Quran, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا, Allah Ta'ala strikes an example, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, for the believers, إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ, the wife of Fir'aun. And look how she gets introduced. She doesn't get introduced by a name. She gets introduced as the wife of Fir'aun. The first thing Allah wants you to know about her, The first important element is that she's the wife of the most, one of the most tyrannical people to ever have lived. She's his wife, but she's an example to the believers. I think I don't even need to elaborate on that. That there are so many women, subhanAllah, who find themselves in oppressive marriages and in oppressive situations, or their father's oppressive, etc. But yeah, Allah Ta'ala wants those women to find inspiration within the life of Asiya. And Allah strikes this example. He says, "If qalat," remember when she said, now it's right here at this moment that we spoke about, that she's speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the midst of being tortured. She says, "Rabbi bini li indaka baytan fil jannah." She says, "Oh Allah, oh my Rabb, Rabbi, oh my Lord, oh my nourisher, sustainer, provider, creator." Her faith turns straight to her Rabb. "Ibni li, build for me." What is Allah built for? You can see. I mean, in the translation it says, "Build for me near you a house in paradise." But don't skip through that very quickly. Notice that before she asks for a house in paradise, a castle in paradise, the first thing she says is, "Rabbi bini li indaka." Oh my Lord, build for me by you a house in paradise. Allahu Akbar. That not asking for another husband, not asking for riches and fame and fortune and power and for revenge. No, the first thing she wants, even more than she wants Jannah, is to be in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She wants her Rabb. She wants her Allah. She's used to oppression. She could have chosen the life of a silent woman. The life of a woman would just, you know, live in fear, carry on, you know, pretend to be worshipping Pharaoh, pretend to just go about like everybody else. But she chose Allah. And she chose Allah till the bitter end, even more than she chose Jannah. Ya salam. Then she says, "وَنَجِّنِي مِن فِرْعَوْنَ." Save me from Fir'aun. وَعَمَلِهِ. Save me from his actions. وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And save me from the wrongdoing people. So what is his actions? All of the action that he's doing of shirk, and also the action that he's actually busy torturing her. And at this point that she makes this amazing dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the malaika to shield her. He sends the angels to shield her. And she looks up into the sama and she sees these angels shielding her. And she starts to smile and she starts to laugh, and she laughs and she laughs uncontrollably, until Fir'aun says, like, this woman has really lost it. So he commands these people to go to a particular cliff that was, you know, above where they were, and to throw this boulder down to crush her, naked body in the desert sand. So, you know, give her the ultimate humiliation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because she made this dua and she asked Allah to save her from the actions of Fir'aun, Allah ta'ala decreed that her life be taken before the boulder could crush her. And this is the story of Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. And, you know, subhanAllah, besides what we've already mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, an Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kamala min ar-rijali kathirun. Many men perfected their faith. Many prophets, of course. Walam yakmul min an-nisa'i illa Asiya. But from among the women folk, only the following four perfected their faith, meaning they reached the highest levels of faith. Asiya, imra'atu Fir'aun. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Maryam bintu Imran. That's the mother of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Maryam, the daughter of Imran. Wa inna fadla Aisha. And then he says, the virtue of Aisha, this is his wife, his youngest wife, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, her virtue ala nisa, above the rest of the women, ka fadli tharidi ala sa'ir al-ta'am, is like the virtue of the food that we call tharid over the rest of food. Now, tharid was like one of the best delicacies in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is something that was like really sought after, you know, like a barangdish, Eid food. He says that her virtue over the rest of women was like the virtue of tharid of everyone else. But he didn't only say this about her. He didn't only put her into the category of Aisha and Maryam. In a different hadith, an Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, anna an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, the Prophet said, hasbuka minan nisa, or hasbuka min nisa al-alamin, enough for you from the women of all the worlds are the following: Maryam ibnatu, or Maryam ibnatu Imran. Maryam, the daughter of Imran, that's the mother of Nabi Isa. Khadija to bintu Khuwailid. Khadija, the daughter of Khuwailid, the first wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to whom he was married without any other co-wives. Fatima to bintu Muhammad, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Fatima, also known as Az-Zahra, the resplendent one, وآسية امرأة فرعون, as well as Asia, the wife of Fir'aun. So for women, it is so important. If the Prophet ﷺ says, حسبك, enough for you, as examples, of course, of the following, then certainly it is going to be absolutely worth your while, women and men alike, to study the lives of these great women and to really learn their virtues and what it means to be a servant of Allah, one who serves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a female. And, you know, just to re-emphasize some points that I got from someone who I'm going to mention, someone who is very special to this particular course and therefore to every one of you, and I'd like you to keep her in your du'as. She mentioned to me specifically that Asya could have had all of the things that women generally want. You know, because women, she says, usually complain about things like their homes or the clothing or the furniture, the lack of a domestic worker, you know, the cutlery, the crockery, etc. And, you know, this husband is doing this and this husband is doing that, but her husband isn't doing it. Asya could have had all of that, she says, but she chose not the king of this world, but the king of all kings. She chose Allah, and she specifically wanted to be with Allah Ta'ala in Jannah. And this is a reminder that women have the power to speak truth to power. They do not need to live in fear. And of course, here she has the worst outcome because she has the worst dunyawi outcome, that is, because she has the worst of situations. She's like one of the top women of the world, and she's married to one of the worst men ever to have lived. That's like an extreme situation. But in most instances, it's going to be a good woman. You know, women who are in this type of situation, it's going to be a really good woman with a man who's not as good as she is. So there's obviously not going to be a demise with a boulder on top of you. Inshallah, may Allah protect all of our women. But still, we see how you can speak truth to power. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will make you succeed with ease after your difficulty, no matter what. She says, even if that ease doesn't come in the dunya, even if that ease comes right before you leave the dunya, like with Asya, Allah Ta'ala took her right there and then, took her soul without having to feel any pain. Look how long she had to wait to be relieved of this oppressive marriage. But at the end of the day, she's got baytan fil jannah inda Allah. She's got a castle in Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we can really remember about the wife of Fir'aun, Asya bin Muzahim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her the highest abode of Jannah with him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us, accept our Ramadan, make us of the muttaqeen, mu'mineen, mukhlisin, sadiqeen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us with him and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. I would like to specifically thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for choosing us all to be part of this, and I'd like to thank Mu'allima Layla Khan for assisting me with the research of this course and with the compilation of the ayat and the slides. May Allah Ta'ala grant all the khair and barakah in this life and in the next. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the same to all of those who participated as the audience of this particular course. I pray that it was of benefit. I ask your forgiveness for any flaws or shortcomings therein. And I ask that you pray for myself and my family. And I ask that Allah Ta'ala make us all reunite in this dunya, in the masajid, before you make us reunite in the akhirah, in his jannah. Again, وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.